And we are going into our last hour with our guest, Judith Orloff. We'll be taking some calls, and then because it's daylight savings time, we'll be doing a kind of lost hour on the way next hour, just all open lines next hour. And when we do it, I don't know that we'll ever hear that hour again. It'll probably never pop up in replays. It may not be collected in the stream link. I don't know if it'll be included in the podcast. It may be gone forever. One time to hear it, and then poof. And I hope it's good. It'll be fun. See where you'll take us coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Dr. Judith Orloff. The book is Positive Energy, and it's been out for a while, but now it's in paperback. Is that what you're touring on?
Yes, absolutely.
While we're lining up the calls, let me ask you one other question about the energy vampire and the elderly. This came up in a book of monsters I was reading from, but also from my friend Laureen, who is 87, and she and I write back and forth all the time, and she was talking a little bit about that. Are energy vampires prone to go after the elderly?
Yes, they're prone to go after weakness or illness or drug addiction and alcoholism. They also go after that because the spirit tends to dislodge itself if somebody's drinking and using. It's not as present in the body. But when I first went into my psychiatric practice, I used to work in nursing homes, and I would go around, and they're the most desolate places filled with such negative energy that it just hovers above the elderly in the nursing homes. I agree with the author that you read earlier in terms of the impact that it can have on the elderly, because if you're frail and you're not getting the right diet and you're not getting the right energy in your life, they are sitting ducks for negative energy.
And then they are likely to, in turn, become energy vampires for the people who are even their caregivers.
Out of desperation.
Right.
Because they have no energy left and they have no resources. And I'm talking about the terrible nursing homes. I'm not talking about somebody who has 70, 80 and living with a loving family or living on their own. It's very different when you have stamina, when somebody has meditated all their life or has a very strong spiritual life and they have support. It's very different. But if you're ill and you're alone or you're in a nursing home, that makes you quite vulnerable to the negative energies.
And if you need energy, you'll take it in any form you can get it.
Oh, absolutely. You're starving for it.
Right. So that would account for why some elderly people also become psychic vampires, is they're not getting visited, they're not engaged, so they'll do anything they can just to force people to be engaged with them, even if it's to the other person's discomfort.
Yes, sometimes, definitely. You're pushed to it. And I also want to make a point that you're open to the psychic vampires as you fall asleep and also in the dream state. And so a lot of people who are intuitive empaths, energy sponges, when they're sleeping next to somebody who's an energy vampire, you can feel that drain, especially when you're asleep, because your energy field is so open as you leave the body and go into dream time. Your energy field is so open, and if you're in proximity with a vampire in your bed, then you will be absorbing that energy all night. And I have patients who have opted not to sleep with their mates until they work through their negative energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
It works really well.
I think it would be an effective tool.
Yeah.
My friend Laureen, I hope she is sleeping at this hour, but should anybody ever become an energy vampire for you, let me know and we'll come running. We'll come back to the phones. Everybody's lining up to talk to Dr. Judith Orloff next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, we got a full boat of calls, and I know it is going to be a great hour, our final hour with Dr. Judith Orloff. The book is Positive Energy. Let's see where Jim is with all of this on Coast to Coast AM, east of the Rockies. Jim, you're talking with Dr. Judith Orloff.
Well, good morning to everybody. Doctor, I just wanted to ask you that, looking at it, your book has a positive slant to it, but what about the people that have the energy drained from them. Possibly, couldn't they look at it like it's a cathartic thing, like they want their energy drained from them? I mean, let's just pretend that they, or just say that they have all this stuff that they want to get out, and a lot of things, like even in the old vampire lore, they look for a void in somebody's life, and then they move in. Okay,
right.
Now a psychic vampire might move in to somebody's life, but if they do, they might be getting something from this person that might better mankind. You know, why can't we look at it in such a way where there is an incredibly positive spin to this, where the psychic vampires move in and take something from somebody that may not be able to impart it on their own?
All right. Dr. Orloff, where are you with that?
Well, that's really an interesting point. Yes, if that's the dynamic of what's going on, yes, it can be positive. But if they're leeching the person of their life force and making them miserable, sick, and unhappy, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, and Jim, as to Jim's point, I guess it could be, say, a victimless crime of some sort, and I could imagine circumstances where that's true. But it still comes down to if the relationship is not equal, right, Dr. Orloff, where if the flow isn't going back and forth, then it's just a kind of, then it's only benefiting one end of the party.
It's true, and some people are attracted to energy vampires, and they go in that direction, and these people can tend to be masochistic because they like to instill pain in themselves, and this isn't healthy.
You know, as Jim was talking, I had that image, the Victorian image of the energy of the vampire, and how, you know, in prim and proper, say, Victorian England, there was something so attractive about the ravager who would come in and completely disrupt the social order and be completely sexually inappropriate for the Victorian times, and that was attractive to some degree to his female victims in Bram Stoker's Dracula anyway. Is there a parallel to that in this? I mean, people who just love the total, I mean, it's just back to Jim's point, the total disruption of it and the fact that it's chaotic and exciting.
It's the allure of the dark. It's a mesmerizing, the dark can be, it's not necessarily good for you, but it's hypnotizing and mesmerizing, and it take you into dark crevices where you don't want to end up. But that lure is seductive, and it's exhilarating, and it's sexual oftentimes. And so you have to make a decision where you're going here. And yes, because of all of its enticement, where are you going to end up here?
Well, it could be relevant to the times, I guess, is what I was going at. Like, there was a purpose to the attraction in Victorian England. Is there any reason why the rise of energy vampires is happening in this day and age?
Well, I think there's so much negativity and so much fear and terror in this day and age. And if you look at the negative energy that's being perpetuated on every level, the government, the raping of the planet, the terror that's going on all the time, this is breeding ground for vampires.
But could it also be a breeding ground for victims of energy? That in the sense that somebody wants it or feels like this is more than just a personal thing, that they're doing something to be counterculture, like the victims of the vampires in the Victorian age, that they were doing something which was disruptive to the social norm. Well, anyway, I'll hang that out there and just go to the first time caller line, where Adam is hanging on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Judith Orloff. Adam?
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Dr. Orloff.
Hello, Adam.
I'm in Denver, by the way. I've been suffering, I'm an empath, and I've been suffering from chronic fatigue for about 15 years now. And I'm a researcher into the paranormal, I guess. And I realized a little under 2 years ago, I had noticed I was getting what I thought were ingrown hairs, skin eruptions around the neck, under the ears. And finally, a little under 2 years ago, I realized that my chronic fatigue was directly tied into these wounds showing up on me. And these things swell up like mosquito bites to bee stings, and are very painful and take forever to heal. And I realized I had to have a step-grandmother who is a psychic vampire. I mean, you know, has nothing nice to say, finds fault. But she's taken this a step further. I cut off all communication with her 2.5 years ago. Well, yeah, she's overcome that. And I don't know if she's sending what people would call an etheric double or if this is actually something else that has possessed her. But it is using my life force to keep her alive. She's 98 years old, does not have gray hair, still drives, and is just in tip-top shape. And whenever she's doing fine, I'm not doing well, and vice versa.
Right. Well, there's that energetic cord going back and forth between you and your grandmother. But you must dismiss her. You must send her in another direction. You must cut the cord. Otherwise, it will drain you unless you're getting something from it.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Jane is on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Judith Orloff. Jane?
Hi. How are you?
Hello, yeah. Jane.
Hi. I'm a little bit nervous. I have a theory. I'm an empath, an intuitive empath, and I'm disabled. It's not that I'm masochistic that I attract energy vampires. I think it's because deep down inside, I've never given myself the right to be myself, you know, because of the way I grew up. It's sort of like I read something somewhere that if you don't have a purpose, if you're a bullet going in one direction, no one can get you. But if you're just sort of stuck, then it's sort of like, oh, here's energy, you know, come get it, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've been kind of hermiting out. But I need to hire someone to help clean and do the things that I can't do. So when the last lady quit, I hired this new person who's very nice, but she's a recovering alcoholic. She doesn't remember her dreams. She's cut off from her own vital sources. And all of a sudden, she starts complimenting me in these weird ways, you know, that really give me the creeps, you know. And she sees me petting my cat and giving it attention. She goes, oh, I wish I was your cat. And I'm going, ugh, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly, but that's your intuition going, oh, that's a very creepy thing to say.
I know, and it's like, but I go into denial, and it's like an hour after she leaves, and I go, wait a minute, did she really say that, you know? And when she likes to talk, and she stops cleaning and I'll talk and I'll just get these cramps in my intestine, you know, and I'll just be clutching myself and just go, oh, I got to bring you something for your stomach, you know, and I want to help her because I think she is a good person. I want to introduce her to my spiritual teacher, which is sacred according to her than me because she can take it. But I'm
right.
afraid to fire her. And I, you know, I feel like, well, should I lie and say, well, I got somebody, you know, but it's like, right now, I'm trying to just, like, rip out the cords out of all my chakras and everything and get her energy out of the house, and then I start counting the days till she comes again, and it's just making me freaked out, you know? But I don't want to hurt her and,
well,
you know, or hurt her feelings or...
Maybe you have to. Dr. Orloff, where are you with...
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're an empath and you're disabled now, you have to do everything to take care of yourself. You have to be a little fierce here. You're not going to be mean-spirited with her, but you do need to have people in your home who give off positive energy. And, you know, when I tune into you intuitively, I can feel the beautiful heart that you have. But I think you give it away too easily to everybody. And you must not do that. You must keep some for yourself. And you can let somebody go in a very kind way and then interview somebody and test out their energy. See how the energy feels to you so you can have that good energy in your house. You don't want weirdness in your house, and you don't want to save people.
International line, Mary, for Dr. Judith Orloff. The book is Positive Energy. It is out now in paperback. Mary?
I hope it's me. The line cut off for a minute when you said the name.
Is this Mary?
Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn. Well, we're happy to have you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm so delighted to be able to speak with you, Dr. Orloff. I know I have cords. How do you deal with them successfully? That's my question.
In terms of cutting off the cords?
Yes.
You have to identify the vampire where the cord is attached to, and then you have a ritual, and you visually you know, visualize a scissors cutting the cord. So there is no energetic lifeline between you and that other person.
Okay.
And then you must walk in the opposite direction.
Oh, I did that automatically tonight. It gets to be just so much. And I thought, oh, I'll turn and go the other way.
Yes, that was a good intuition.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Wildcard line, Brian, for Dr. Judith Orloff on Coast to Coast AM. Brian?
Well, Ms. Judith and Mr. Ian, it is truly an honor to talk to you tonight.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, believe it or not, as cliche as it sounds, this is a third party looking in on a situation. Now, we've had a few hurricanes come here through South Florida, so tensions are high and everything else.
Right.
Okay, so there is one person, and I'm not going to say whether it's male or female, but there is one person who seems to be an energetic vampire who is taxing one of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this person tends to be on the phone 50% of the time.
The vampire?
Pardon me?
The vampire?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And has been known to be a drama queen. And not only that, has resorted to drug use.
Mm.
Now, this other person is not necessarily perfect, is very regimented, and is not equipped to handle that type of, free spirit attitude from the basis. What happens next? Once everything is out in the open, how do these people deal with each other? And by the way, these people do have sex.
Yeah.
Even though, like 4 to 5 times a week, even though, and granted, that was not a very privy, I was not happy to learn, but they do have sex 4 to 5 times a week, even if everything is not okay. Now, the question I have, and by the way, I'm taping this tonight, and you're talking to them, and what is the next step you take?
Well, does your friend want to take a step?
The friend has 2 kids with this person and wants to take the next step to keep the family together.
Okay. Your friend has got to start sticking up for, it's a man, or whoever it is, needs to stick up for their energy needs.
The friend already is sticking up for their energy needs.
Well, just so we're not getting too particular about this so that we don't quite understand it, just Dr. Orla, finish up that thought then. In general, then, how would you help a couple under these circumstances?
I would talk to the person who's being drained, and I would talk to the potential vampire when I try and find out the dynamics there. And my sense is about this man is that he's got to take a firmer stand with this person and not try and fix the drama queen's problems all the time, because I think he's attracted to the dark, this man, as I tune into him. There's something alluring about this woman, and although it's not good for him, he is attracted to it. So the way I would work with him is to begin to point that out, so that he can see the toll that it's taking on himself and his children. So I think his children are the way in terms of getting to this man.
And because you just don't want to, you don't want that kind of modeling going on. You don't want, it's the kind of sickness that can continue on for generations to come.
That's true.
Cutting off the psychic vampire, we'll continue this conversation coming up. More of your calls. We have a lot of people that want to get through to Dr. Judith Orloff. We'll keep our comments short and keep your questions to the point, and we'll get everybody on coming up in this last segment with Dr. Judith Orloff on Coast to Coast AM. I'm Ian Punnett. Good luck getting through on the phones. Let me see if I can't get a line open for you for Dr. Judith Orloff with Richard on the wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. Richard?
Well, hello. How you doing?
Hello,
we're doing
Richard.
Terrifically, thank you.
Calling from the lunatic fringe somewhere in Austin, Texas.
Glad to have you. All right, go ahead.
Well, I kind of have to give you a little history of where I'm coming from so you can understand my question. First, I'm in the minority. I'm obviously a guy. but I am a sensitive, I don't know
impact?
If that's really, really the name for it, but, you guys have been using it. So that's the name I'm going to give it.
Okay.
Ever since I was a little child,
beautiful.
I've been able to predict the future, mostly bad things. And, my parents have told me they're Christians. I'm not, they've told me that the gift of prophecy, and that actually kind of started me into, being a student of, different religions. And one of those being Satanism and Catholicism, and the list goes on. I have not predicted anything. Actually, the reason I say that is because, as time has gone by, I have gotten less and less abilities. They have lessened through time, and I think it's because of the people I've met in my life, who I believe are vampires, psychic vampires. And I think the big ones that I have met in my life have been men, not women.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a few women. In fact, my last relationship was definitely, she was definitely a psychic vampire.
Well, this is helpful, Richard, but you said it was going to be background for a question?
Right. The question is, so as time has gone by, I've realized that I have been attracting psychic vampires, and I'd like to know why that is. I don't believe that I have some kind of sadomasochistic type tendencies, but I like to do good. I like to think, you know, that there's good in the world and try to, you know, make that a reality.
Sure.
So,
and it's not your cologne.
No.
Okay. So how can we help Richard, Dr. Orlo?
Well, you know, he brings up an interesting point, because sometimes when you have that psychic power, that is what they want. And so they go after that. And it's very attractive, that kind of power, to certain energy vampires. And so it's important that you gravitate towards people who are simple and humble and doing good. And I think if you do that, you've got to kind of shift your energy back again, so that you're not around these types that want to suck your psychic power from you. And you can use your power to do good. I love what you said about that. And I think that will bring your power back in a much stronger way, too, if that's what you want.
In seminary, we learned that evil always needs to destroy.
Yes.
That I think even M. Scott Peck writes about that a little bit in People of the Lie, that evil seeks good, because otherwise it can't exist. It can't create of its own. And so that's true. You believe that even as a psychiatrist, as well as an empath, that evil people are always seeking good?
They feed off of the good, unless you fight back and unless you make a decision not to give in to that and not to feed into fear. Because the minute you start to get afraid, then they get more power. And you can make a decision not to go towards evil. I don't care how mesmerizing it is. As a child, I learned how mesmerizing the loud signals of the negative can be. But they're just loud. If you make a decision to turn away, that's your decision. It's a choice.
But aren't most psychiatrists reluctant to use terms like good and evil because it's too much of a value judgment?
Yes, I think that's true. But from my vantage point, it's all just a spectrum of dark energy. And however you deal with dark energy, you need to have power over it. Whether it's simply the fear inside yourself or whether it's somebody putting a curse on you, you have to say no to it. You have to walk away from it and go in a different direction.
Works for me. Let's go, Chris, wildcard line before the break on Coast to Coast AM. Chris, you're talking with Dr. Judith Orloff.
Sure. How you guys doing tonight? Just listening to the program, I think I learned a lot about myself tonight, because I was previously married to a woman that I used to joke around and say that she was a succubus.
and
because the reason why was because I remember when we were, before we were married, we went to bed one night and I woke up and I saw her on top of me. But it wasn't like her. It was like her in a silvery light. She had this real smile on her face, and it always struck me as like it was the mythological creature, the succubus.
It could be. That's one way that psychic vampires drain is through sexuality.
And it was, and all through the marriage, I would always feel confused by her, and we would always argue. And at the end of the marriage, I was always really drained mentally and physically ill. But at the end of the marriage, subconsciously, I had to make a break. I stopped talking to her. I no longer look at her. When I talk to her, I actually have my back turned to her, which is something I have to do, or else I will literally have nothing left inside of me.
But how do you feel energetically that you made those changes?
I feel a lot better. I feel like I actually have control in my life now.
Yeah, that's
great.
Whereas
before, my life was basically on a whim by her. Like, if she would argue, I would get sucked into the arguments, and it would take me forever to get over them. But the problem I'm having now is that because we have two children together, is she'll use them as pawns, and I feel kind of torn because I know that if I get involved, she'll use the children to draw me into the arguments. But now I feel torn because I feel like, you know, I have to actually step back away from my children because the results upon me are disastrous.
That's true, but you can talk to her without arguing. I would never get sucked into an argument with this woman because that's how she drains. But you have to stay firm and non-reactive emotionally. It's a different way of being with her. And I think that's the way of being there for the children, and then you won't be drained because she won't have anything to hook into.
You know, I don't know this because I don't know that anybody keeps track of such a thing, but I believe if they did, we would break the coast-to-coast record for use of the word suck in a three-hour period. I think we've used it in every possible noun and verb tense that exists.
That's true.
We have a few more to go, too, so we could smoke the record even more. Coming up next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. One more wild card line, and then we'll go back around the horn one more time on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Judith Orloff, and Dwight is hanging on. Hey, Dwight.
Hello.
Hello.
I love your show. I've learned a lot tonight.
Thank you.
I got a question. These psychic vampires, can they be really passive? I mean, like Gomer Pyle or Edith Bunker.
Interesting.
Now, I've got reason to ask.
Two people in that subgroup are interesting. Go ahead, Dr. Orloff.
Can they be passive? There's a vampire that can be so passive, and you can't even see them coming. They look nice, and they're not doing anything out of the ordinary, but yet you're zapped. So that is a particular kind of vampire, yes, most definitely.
Because, I mean, if you've ever seen that Sprint commercial with Paul Reiser, and he asked, how do I attract these people? I mean, I've been to a lot of situations like that.
Well, give me a specific example of that.
Well, I used to work in a furniture factory, and a couple of these people, you know, that I'd worked with, I mean, I don't think they intentionally meant to do it. I don't know if it was so much a short temper like mine, but they would really get me worked up. I mean, you know, I'd be fuming mad.
And they would do it. They were passive?
I mean, you know, it's just, you know, stuff that they did or, you know, just something, you know, like a vibe coming from them or something, you know.
Well, that's it. It's the vibe. It's the vibe that can drain you. So it sounds like you were working in a furniture store with the energy vampires.
At what point, though, does Dwight have to look at the fact that his temper was working against him, though, too? That these people knew how to yank his chain, but, you know, do you have to be an energy vampire just to want to see somebody go off for the smallest thing? I mean, that can sometimes get into sort of a power dynamic. If these people worked under him and they could always get him mad, it gave them a sense of power over him without necessarily being an energy vampire.
Well, it's true, but vampires also know your buttons, and if they know you have a short temper, they're going to go for it to get you upset, because that upset energy will feed them, just in case they are an energy vampire. And in that kind of power dynamic, there is a subtle taking of energy that comes from it, too. Even though they're not a blatant energy vampire, they like to see you riled up, and they know what to do to press your buttons. And when you lose your temper, they get a little bit more energy. They like it.
Well, I see that, but at some point, too, doesn't it go back to, if you've got a short temper, aren't you sticking your neck in the mouth of the vampire at that point?
You are going for it. You're like the moth to the flame.
Yeah. Let's go to Ken, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM, for Dr. Judith Arloff. Ken?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Good to talk to you. I was just wondering if this current administration we got could be psychic vampires. It seems like there's nothing but negativity constantly.
I feel that they are. I find it hard to even watch the TV set and to see them come on because I get a nauseated feeling in my body and I feel drained because the energy is so negative. And I think a lot of empaths are finding it hard to watch television at all because of the news, because it's so negative in so many ways that you can be affected by that, and that could drain your energy.
Yeah, and yet at the same time, news has never been known for going out of their way to report happy stories.
No, that's true, but I think we're particularly in a dark period in history now on many different levels, and so I think it's amped up. The energy is amped up now in terms of the negativity.
First-time caller line, Mike, on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Judith Orloff. Go ahead, Mike. Mike, do we lose you?
No, hey, I'm still here.
Go ahead then, quickly.
Oh, okay. Hey, yeah, I wanted to find out how you.
You got that radio in the background is going to be like an alternate universe. You have to live in the now. Turn off the radio and just go with this. Mike, we'll give you one more chance.
Into the now.
Go ahead.
I want to find out how you know if you are a vampire. If you're a vampire.
Yeah,
well, you ask the people around you if there's anything you're doing that's draining them. And they'll tell you. Do you have a particular person in mind?
He's gone just because of the bad connection there.
Oh,
But you can go ahead and challenge him on that, because I think that's good. Ask the people around you and try to see whether there's a pattern in the way that people talk about you.
Right, and then make some changes. Don't be defensive when they say yes. You know, as a matter of fact, right. You've been quite angry lately.
Right. Alan, west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM for Dr. Judith Orloff. Alan?
Yes. Good evening, Ian and Dr. Orloff.
Good evening.
I am an energy vampire, and I chose some time ago to cut myself off from outside relationships. I haven't spoken to my friends for years. I haven't had a romantic relationship for over 5 years, not even a lunch date. And I've felt as though I'm dying of chronic fatigue. Not all vampires seem evil, I want to point out. The path that I chose was to lavish my romantic partners with attention, writing poetry, writing songs, giving flowers. And the relationships were very fast-moving, exciting, hilarious,
right.
Very, very intense. And then I fed off of that, you know, drawing the very will and energy out of these people. Realizing I did this is why I cut myself off, and I want to know how I can change. And Ian, I want to point out I didn't use the word suck once.
but you also never brought up the Houston Astros. It would have come up had you brought them up. Dr. Orloff, what do we do with that?
Well, if you want to change your patterns, you've got to, you know, take a look at what's causing you to do that, why you get off on that, why that gives you a thrill. I mean, I think actually it took a lot of responsibility on your part to withdraw yourself from romantic relationships until you get this clear. And my hunch about this is you've got to go back to your mother, because it starts with that. Your relationship with your mother somehow started this kind of vampirism in you. And once you clarify some of that and maybe cut some of those psychic bonds there, then if you want to, you can start to have romantic relationships again in a different way.
Alan, let me ask you a question. You said that you were kind of drying up, you know, and you're aware of your psychic vampirism. But have you been proactive other than cutting yourself off from potential victims?
Well, you'd have to really give me an example of exactly how you mean proactive.
Well, I mean, since you suspect this is true, have you really engaged in a kind of healing process that Dr. Orloff suggests, or, you know, really like sat down with a therapist, or really you just try to get to the bottom of it?
Well, yes, I have a number of self-help books that I've been going through, The Purpose-Driven Life, The Artist's Way, things that are supposed to help you get in touch with yourself, and hopefully I could learn how to just draw energy out of the world around me instead of people around me. But it's a very difficult process, and I still feel as though, you know, I'm just, like I said, dying from chronic fatigue.
Right.
You know, I agree with Ian in that if you decide to get into a relationship, if you have a guide, some kind of energy guide or energy coach or therapist or spiritual guide, something to help you as you go through it, I think, you know, you'll be able to deal with it. But right now you need to build your vital life force.
Yeah.
I went 2 years without a relationship, and then I went into one and just immediately went into the same old behaviors, which is why I've gone now 5 years. And my relationships don't last past 2 or 3 years because they're so intense and draining all around. And I still haven't used the word suck.
thank you, Alan. Very good. God bless you for that. And Dr. Orloff, though, at some point, wouldn't it be wise, maybe in his case, to get into a therapeutic situation? And that's the baby step into another relationship. Get a relationship with another person in a therapeutic context, and then get out of the, you know, use that as a model or some sort for getting into another relationship.
Yes, use it as a model. But then also, when you get into a relationship, stay in the therapeutic relationship so you can be walked through the pitfalls of the ordinary pitfalls of the relationship, and then you can, you know, achieve something really beautiful with somebody that
just
is
have,
just based on intensity.
Just have a half minute for Dave on the wild card line for Dr. Judith Orloff. Positive Energy is out in paperback. Hey, Dave?
Yes.
Go ahead. We just have a little bit for you, so you got to be quick.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say there's another issue here of hormones called pheromones. And I could cite you examples of where, for people like me, that alone can also have similar effects to the concepts that have been discussed here.
Well, oh, absolutely.
I am an empath. Oh, I'm now a telepath. But what my point is that I'm going to be leaving this planet because I've had new DNA added to my genes, and I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the radio because it's all negative.
Right.
Well,
right.
Take this positive thought, Dave. You need to talk to somebody else about that before you leave this planet for that. Right, Dr. Orloff?
I mean, right away. Get some support. Talk to somebody.
Yeah, don't think you can work that all out on your own. You might need some better advice than what you're giving yourself right now. So many more people out there, I know, are going to be touched by the book Positive Energy with Dr. Buffy the Psychic Vampire Slayer. Has just been terrific. And thank you for sharing your spirit with us.
Oh, thank you, Ian.
And all the fun. Have a wonderful Halloween weekend. And for everybody else, Deus Te Amat. And we do too. Except for the bonus hour that's coming up next.